Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Bibles, go back to 2 Corinthians tonight, and Lord's willing, I'll finish our Bible study here out of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Of course, we've preached several messages out of here, and man, I've enjoyed studying it, and I want to look at the closing three verses. Some of the things that I'll say tonight, I've said previously before, but it really just ties our study all in and brings it to conclusion tonight. I actually used some of this in the devotion today that I sent out to the sheriff's office and then sent out to some of them in the church. So if you've read that, you're going to, some of this will be familiar to you tonight as we look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, do pray for the meeting there in Marion. I know a lot of others will be leaving early in the morning, traveling up to that meeting. Will be there the rest of the week in that meeting. Pray for me on Friday night. Me and Dad will preach together on Friday night. So do pray that the Lord will give us a good time up there and a good service up there. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read verse number 1, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 16 and read the rest of the chapter. The Bible said this, "Therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Verse 16 says this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father, we love you tonight, and I pray, God, that over the next few minutes, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd meet the needs of our service, God. Lord, as we conclude the last service of this year here at this church, God, here at our church, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to determine within our hearts tonight that, God, we're not going to faint in the ministry that you've put us in. God, help us to stay close to you, and thank you for a great year, God. We bless your name for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. We've been looking at this study out of 2 Corinthians 4 on not fainting in the ministry that God's put us in. And we talked about that word ministry just simply being a service, and the service that God has put us in, whatever that service may be. And let me just say this. I know I've said a lot, but not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody's deacon, but everybody does have a service in serving God. We've all got our place in serving God, and it's our place to remain faithful in what God has for us to do. He goes to verse number 16, and Paul concludes this great chapter with this. "For which cause," he's concluding with the same way he began, "for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." He goes on to say, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." He said, we're just not looking at what's happening here. We're looking at what's going to happen in heaven one day. Amen. Not just at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. This world is temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And let's look at this tonight and finish our little series on not fainting in the ministry that God has put us in. What we and even I need to come to the place, come to the conclusion, and we need to come to the place that Paul came to. And this is what he says to us. Though our outward man perish, I faint not. Though the outward man perish, he says, the spiritual man is not going to faint. I want to come to a place where even though I am attacked from without or from within by a fallen nature and by a fallen world, that I do not faint in the ministry God's put us in. I want to come to a place where I don't faint regardless of what's going on around me or even what may be going on within me. You know, a lot of times, and we're fixing to do a podcast. Matter of fact, we took a few weeks off, and when we start back in January, we're going to be doing several different ones. I know we won't cover it in one, on anxiety. And you know what? One thing, I've been studying a lot on that, and Brother Jake and Brother Jonathan, myself, we've been talking a lot about it. And you know, a lot of times somebody will have a smile on their face, man. They'll look like they've got it all together, but boy, deep down inside, they're about to fly into a million pieces. Now, I want to say this to you. I want to come to the place where no matter what's going on without or within, that I do not faint in what God has for me to do. I believe in all of my heart that this text will help us to see how not to do that. I want to give you three things that Paul gives us here in verse 16, 17, and 18. These things are not alliterated. All of them don't start. It's just practical things that has helped me. And I've mentioned some of this stuff before, but I really think that it'll help bring it into conclusion. Number one, we are given fresh strength for every day of our life. We're given fresh strength. Know what he says in the latter portion of verse 16. He says this, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed day by day. Paul reminds us that while the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. The natural man, which includes the body and the mind, is dying every day. Every day the mind and the body are assaulted by the effects of sin and sinners. As a result of the constant attacks on the outward man, it causes us to be in a state of perishing. Every day we die a little. Every day we lose a step. Every day we experience heartbreak, sorrow, pain, problems, and the effects of a sin-cursed world that we live in. Every day we endure the problems of living in a world filled with sin and filled with sinners. Now you say, preacher, that's not very encouraging. Stay with me. Whether it's encouraging or not, it's reality tonight. That's what we deal with on a daily basis. Man, this week I've had four or five phone calls, just not people in our church, but people outside of our church that I know. Miss Tanya's talked to us about her uncle passing away. Man, Miss Regina's mother is just right on the brink of making the crossing. Miss Susan's family's been affected by death. Brother Ted's got to have surgery tomorrow. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. It seems like every day we deal with something different. And the truth of the matter is this, every day we live, we're one day closer to dying. That's just the fact tonight. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every day we live, we're one day closer to dying. I thought about this, and there's been times that I've walked upstairs, and the girls, Leslie fusses at them all the time to keep their bathroom clean, and there's no way boys could be any messier than girls are. They just, there's no way. But anyway, I walk up there every once in a while, and in their bathtub, there'll be a line around where the water went. You know what that is? A lot of times, that skin that has been washed off of a body. Let me tell you the reason why. Your body is dying daily. That's just the facts of life. Every day we die a little. The things we see, feel, and experience are all working against us to cause us to faint. The outward man is continually being destroyed right before our eyes. While the outward man grows weaker and every near to the grave, the inner man is renewed day by day. Even though my outward man may be perishing, thank God the inner man can be renewed day by day. Every day the inner man is given new strength to face the trials of the day. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen to what the Bible said in Lamentations chapter number 3. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because, listen now, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Listen to what He said in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Listen to what He said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. We are given fresh strength for every day. Even though the outward man perish, even though we get weary in well-doing, even though there's times that we wonder how we're going to face another day, the reason that we're able to is just because what Lamentation says, His mercies are new every morning. Amen. He's never failed us, and He never, amen, He's never failed us, and He never will fail us. I read this and I liked it. It said, the car of your life was not meant to run on yesterday's gas. You need to refill the tank every day. Your spiritual metabolism cannot survive on yesterday's meal. You need to eat fresh food every morning. The spiritual dosage that brought healing to your heart yesterday, excuse me, will not help your symptoms today. You need a fresh dose for the element of a fresh day. Your bucket leaks, what you brought up from the well yesterday, will not be sufficient for the trials you will be called on to face today. No spiritual fuel was designed to run your car for 10 years. No single spiritual meal will power you and your life for months at a time. No spiritual inclination will cure the ailments of a new day. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Each and every day of our life, we are renewed day by day. God has something fresh for us each day. That's the reason I need the Word of God every day in my life. One of the things that I'll challenge you with on Sunday night is reading the New Testament in 21 days. If you'll read 13 chapters a day, you can read it in 21 days. Commit to 20, 25, 30 minutes a day in the Word of God, and you'll read that New Testament in 21 days. You say, preacher, I don't really need to do that. I don't really have to have that. I don't have to read my Bible every day. Hear me tell you, the reason you might not be making it the way you need to make it is because you're not getting fresh fuel every day of your life. God has promised us that each day of our life, He has something fresh for us. He has something fresh for us. Can I say this? This means that we need to feed on the Word of God every day. We need to pray to the Father every day. We need the fellowship of the saints every day. You need a fresh supply from God on a daily basis. A fresh supply on a daily basis. I get up every morning, and I didn't this morning, but usually I always do this, my morning routine. I get up, and as soon as I get up, I walk outside, and I throw some wood in the water stove. And the past few mornings, you better throw a little extra wood in the water stove, amen. I throw some wood in the water stove, and I check it. Then I walk up the hill to the goat lot, and usually when I get up there, especially the past few mornings where it's been so cold, there ain't nobody out. They all huddled up in their little house inside the barn, the dog and the goats. They all huddled up in that. And I got a little feed bucket, and I smack that feed bucket, and that dog comes running out. He's 14 weeks old now and about this big already. He comes running out, and I open the gate, and I walk in there, and I talk to old Bo. He's Bo. The one at the house is Poe. But anyway, I'll talk to old Bo. I say, "Boy, did you sleep good?" And I'll love on him and rub on him. Then I'll dump that food out. And you know what he does, man? Boy, he gets over that food bowl and he eats it, and them goats walk around and they know not to mess with his food. He's already trained them goats. You don't mess with his food. You want me to tell you the reason why? He knows if he's going to make it the way that he needs to make it that day, he's got to feed. He's got to eat that food. You know what? If you're going to make it the way you need to make it every day, your morning routine needs to be getting around the food bowl and letting the master give you something to eat and love on you just a little while that morning. And I promise you, your day will go better. You said, "Preacher, why do I not have to faint?" Well, can I say this? Here's one reason. Because we're given fresh strength for every day of our life. But number two, watch this. Not only are we given fresh strength for every day, I told you this is not alliterated, just some thoughts thrown together. Nothing we face in this life will last forever. I cannot faint in the ministry because nothing I face in this life will last forever. It will come to an end. What did Job say? All the appointed days of my life will I wait until my change comes. Job knew that there would be a change one day in his life. Listen to what the Bible said. He said this in verse number 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." It's but for a moment. Notice carefully the language Paul uses here. He says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment." That is not how it feels when trials comes our way, though. Would you say amen with me right there? It does not feel like a light affliction when troubles come our way. The word affliction refers to tribulation, trouble, or pressure. The word light means easy. So here Paul says that the pressure he is under is easy. Can I remind you of what he said in verse 8? "We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed." Verse 9, "persecuted and cast down." Can I remind you of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:8? "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now listen to this. In that verse, Paul tells us that his troubles were more than he could handle. He says that they pushed him beyond his natural bounds. It was literally more than he could take. Now come back. And now he comes back and tells us that we are, and his troubles are light, that they are easy. They are merely for a moment. The word moment means for an instant. Paul did come to a place. And you know, we've heard this, and Man, I've said it before, and don't nobody fall out with me. Just study the Bible. Study it all in context. The statement's been made so many times, God will never put more on you than you can bear. You can't find that in the Bible. You cannot find that. Everybody wants to go to that verse, study the context of that verse. He is talking about temptation because he says, for with every temptation we'll make a way of escape. Paul was at a place where there was more on him than he can bear. I've heard numerous times from families in times of trouble, preacher, I just don't know how I can make it. You know what they're saying? I am at a breaking point. I cannot do this. You know what? There will be times where we are at that place, but in my weakness, that's when his strength steps in. Paul is saying this, the problems of life that seem so heavy right now, the troubles that seem as if they will never end, the burdens that we think will break us under their weight, are really just weighty for a moment. He tells us that compared with the eternal weight of glory that we will experience when we arrive in heaven one day, everything we face here is light and easy compared to the glory that we will experience there. What did he say? He said this in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul is saying that there's a better day coming. Nothing we face here is worthy to be compared with the glory that we will experience there. Our problem is this. We hear this, but we don't believe this. Can I say that again? We hear this, but we don't believe this. What we believe is what we see. What we believe is what we feel. What we believe is the pressure we feel. We never think it's easy. We never hear a believer testify about their problems and say, they were light and easy. No, we always magnify the pressure of it. The reason Paul could say this, and we can't, is all a matter of perspective. We have our eyes on the here and now. Paul had his eyes on the then and there. Look in verse 18. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Paul said we must get to a place where we are no longer looking at the things which are seen. What I'm saying is nothing we face is going to last forever. We look at the bitter now and now instead of the sweet by and by. Amen. You, hear me and hear me well. If I get the phone call tonight that something's happened to my mom and dad driving back from Winston, can I tell you something? It's going to be a weighty matter. And what each and every one of us do in times like that is we get our eyes on right now. But hey, hear me and hear me well. I know where they're going. And the truth of the matter is this. There'll be a reunion one day on the other side. Nothing we face is going to last forever. Paul is saying we must look beyond this life. Verse 18 reveals the secret to Paul not losing heart or fainting in the ministry that God has put him in. He says that everything in this world is temporal. Paul says, the psalmist says this in Psalms 30 verse number 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The secret to not fainting is maintaining the proper perspective. Ask the Lord to help you to get your eyes off of what we see and help us to put our eyes on what we're not seeing. And that is the eternal weight of glory one day. That's what Moses did. What did he say in Hebrews 11:27? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know what he's saying? He's saying this, I am looking beyond this life into the next life. What about Abraham? That's the way he made it. The Bible said this in Hebrews 11, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'll tell you the way Abraham made it. He looked beyond this life. What about Stephen in Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 55? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stephen is being stoned to death in Acts chapter number 7 for having a godly stand in his life. And you know what? As the rocks are flying and he is being stoned to death, he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. His perspective was right. He realized that anything that we face in this life, church, we will not face forever. It too shall come to pass, and one day we will experience eternal joy and happiness in heaven. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So preacher, how do I not faint? Well, we've got to remember we're given fresh strength for every day. Nothing we face will last forever. And then lastly tonight, everything we face in life has meaning. It has a meaning. We don't go through things for no reason. We're not faced with trouble for no reason. Listen to what the Bible said in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Everything that we face in this life, we face for a reason. God allows troubles in our life for a reason. Paul tells us that our afflictions worketh for us. Whenever you think about that, when things happen in our lives, we often look at them and think they are meaningless. We wonder how anything that painful, that senseless, that tragic can have any meaning, but it does. If you're a child of God, nothing that happens in your life is meaningless. Everything that takes place is all part of your Father's plan to develop you as a child of God. I read this, just a reminder. God didn't save you to make you happy. He didn't save you to bless you. He saved you to make you like Jesus. That is His eternal purpose. You know, everybody says, well, God just wants me to be happy. Well, where do you see that at in the Bible? You know what? When Paul was suffering shipwreck, Paul wasn't saying, well, God just saved me to make me happy. When Paul was being beat numerous times, study me out in the Word of God, Paul wasn't saying, well, you know what? God just wants me to be. No, there's going to be things in our life that doesn't make us happy. Life is not a life, and I've said this many times, of Hakuna Matata. It's not. There's troubles, there's heartaches, there's problems, man. We are pressed on every side. But everything that we face for a reason. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Thus nothing in your life as a Christian is meaningless. When cancer comes and drains your life, it's not meaningless. When your heart breaks and your dreams are shattered, it's not meaningless. When your loved one dies, it's not meaningless. Preachers, when we struggle with problems, it's not meaningless. When parents are struggling with your children and their decisions that they make, it's not meaningless. When the tragedies of this life pile on you, one after another, after another, after another, and you are broken, weary, and battered from the battle. It's not meaningless. It's not meaningless. These things are working for our good and for His glory. It's up to us to look, verse 18, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I'm reminded of Psalms. Madeline, will you come start playing? I'm reminded of Psalms. Well, the Bible says this, when passing through the valley of Baca, making wells. It talks about making those wells in the valley of Baca. And that valley of Baca is the valley of tears, whenever you study it out. It's the valley of weeping is what it is. And the Bible said this, who passing through the valley, did you catch that word through? Who passing through the valley of Baca, make wells there. You know what a well is? A well outside the church today is a well. Up on the hill is another well. And if you was to go to the water fountain back there tonight and push the button and the water comes out, you get a drink of that fresh water and it refreshes you, it's because somebody else labored and it cost somebody else something to put a well in. And here's what he says, when you get to Baca, what you need to do while you're there is dig a well. When you're in the valley of tears, you need to dig a well. Why do you need to dig a well? Here's the reason why. Somebody else is going to pass through that valley, and God will use you to be a fresh drink of water to them because you've already been there. A lot of people can consult others and be there for them better than I can when a parent dies. Why? Because they have dealt with that before. They understand. No, they don't know exactly how they feel. And that's one thing that I never say to somebody, I know how you feel. No, you don't know how I feel. Don't tell me you know how I feel. You don't know how I feel because you're not me. You say, well, preacher, I faced the same things. You may have faced the same things, but you didn't face them the way I do because everybody in this room is made up different. Are you hearing me? Say, hey, I've walked down this road. I'm praying for you. But no, I know how you feel. I don't know how you feel. No matter if I'm dealing with the same thing that you're dealing with, I don't know how you feel because everybody made up different. Somebody say amen right there. However, God could use you to be a blessing to somebody because you've walked through that valley and I've not. What we must understand is there is meaning to everything. We may not see it in the very beginning of it. We may not see it 5 years from now. And let me say this, we may not ever see the meaning of it here. But when we get over yonder, he said, I'm not looking on the things which are seen. I'm looking on the things which are not seen. Paul's saying, the way that I stayed in the ministry, the way that I did not lose heart, the way that I did not faint, is simply this. I kept my eyes on what really mattered. And let me tell you what really matters, what we do for Christ. That's what really matters. What I accomplish in this world's eyes matters nothing. What I accomplish in Christ's eyes matters everything. That's what matters. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As we close a year, may we determine in our heart that next year, the last service of 2023, if God hasn't come back and we've not died, that we'll be in our place still serving God. That we'll still be doing what God has for us to do. Let's not faint in the ministry, in the service that God has put us in. Father.